I'm going to call this meeting back to order at 6:10, and I will entertain a motion regarding the May 9th minutes.
Right, the May minutes.
I have a disclosure.
Yes.
I was not a member of the board at the time of these minutes.
I've never run into this before.
Is this a problem?
Can you still vote on it?
Yes.
I would think so.
It's up to you to make that decision as the chair.
I believe that that is okay, as you were also present as a citizen.
Cool.
So you were here for those minutes and you have read them. So yes, you are okay to vote on them.
Thank you.
I will entertain a motion about the May minutes, but thank you, Kyle.
I make a motion to okay the minutes, the May minutes.
Motion by Peter to approve the May 9th minutes, seconded by Kyle. Are there any objections to approving the May 9th minutes? Hearing none, the May 9th minutes are approved. I will entertain a motion regarding the June 13th minutes.
CB, I'll move to approve.
Motion by CB.
Second.
Seconded by Michael J. Williams.
Can I just say, I don't know if this is really a practice we want to follow. We have the sign-in sheet, so I'm just listing citizens who are present. If somebody doesn't think that's a good idea, I'm happy not to do it. Whatever people want, I don't know. I don't remember if Nick traditionally did it that way. I don't think he did, but maybe
he did. If there was public comment, we can check
right,
on the
comment,
rules.
Right.
Yeah,
but as far as
who's present. I will look to the department.
Just took who signed in.
Who signed in?
He put it on there? I don't remember that. Okay.
Oh, if you listed it in the minutes.
Right, that's what I did.
That I don't remember. I thought we always did.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's pretty standard community council.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's technically public record, yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Are there any objections to approving the June minutes as presented? Hearing none, the June minutes are approved. We will look at July next month. And next up we have continued business. Wheeled transportation devices not compatible with bike racks as an information item. I think that might be you guys. Yes.
That would be me. I volunteered to pull together a memo that is in progress. My goal is to have a very late night tonight and wrap that up by tomorrow for you all to take a peek at and look here relatively soon. It's nothing super in-depth. It is more just kind of like what is industry practice and standard, what are different agencies doing. It is all across the board. I do think that it is an interesting time. Assemblymember Martinez and others have really kind of taken an interest in e-mobility right now, and so it's kind of a natural progression into the work that you all are doing. So there is some interesting conversation with operations and with maintenance about what should be allowed on vehicle, what do we actually have capacity for, especially like on the Route 25, if we are going to be cutting service on the 25 to every 30 minutes, and it ridership is being concentrated rather than more spread out. Is there room to have these devices brought on board? Mm-hmm. So a lot of things to consider. I'm hoping to have something to the acting director.
Okay.
Soon.
Excellent. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay.
I had a quick question.
Yes.
So is this both on board and on the racks on the front, or is this just relative to the bike racks on the front of the bus?
So what I was under the impression that you were looking for is what happens if something doesn't fit in the bike rack. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So essentially, what are you allowed to carry on vehicle?
Gotcha.
Our bike racks are unique in the sense that they are fat tire bike racks. I wasn't able to find a whole lot of information about other agencies and what they allow in their standard racks, because the fact that we do have additional capacity for those like larger tire bikes is kind of unique in a sense. I was under the impression we wanted to look at just kind of like how do you bring other items on board that are like e-mobility devices.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Like, what's the policy or procedure if the bike rack is full and a rider has a bike?
So
they just need to wait?
What often happens is they will chain up in a safe location or in the location that is available. And then, or that's why kind of from time to time, you'll see random bikes chained to stops or leaners or whatever's kind of available. More than likely what happened was the rack was full.
Okay.
We do not allow full size bikes
right.
on vehicle. We don't have the capacity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any further questions?
Is the where did the naming of this info item come from?
Me.
Okay.
And then I found the name of code
Perfect.
Piece that you had actually submitted. That will be what is on the next time's agenda because I found it after Nick sent out the agenda. We have the real thing. But this was what came to my mind as Nick was like, I need the agenda items. so that will not be the real name on the September agenda. Are there any additional questions? Okay. And then hearing none, we will move on to PTAB procedures document. My information item was pretty much done in the chair's report. We're still working on it July and August. Absolutely ran away from me.
So full disclosure, I was supposed to be merging these two. We had two drafts and they had lots of pieces moving around and I was supposed to be merging them into one Word document. And I had a family emergency, so I didn't get there yet. But we're still on it.
Yes. August and September will be better. I speak it into the universe.
Manifest.
Yes. Are there any questions about that document? Hearing none, we will move on to public comment. I believe I saw a written comment at the end.
Transcribed via phone.
Okay.
You called Nick.
Do we read that aloud? I've never gotten a written comment before.
Yeah, I'd read it aloud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reading into the record, comment. Andy Klein comment was recorded by Nicholas Abigail via phone call on 7/19/2024 at 9:30 a.m. Andy stated he would like Route 25 to remain at 15-minute service. He also suggested that the head signs be changed to a different color or background.
Head signs?
End of comment.
Head signs are the signs on the front of the buses that say the route number.
Oh, okay, sure.
The light up signs on the very front of the bus?
Mm-hmm. And the one on the side and the back.
Okay.
It says like Route 10, and then via the road, like you'd be in any lights.
Right.
Maybe it's colorblind or something might make it easier for him to read.
It is interesting. It is industry standard. They're all orange and black. I don't know why that is, but it is something. I don't even know if we have the option to. But
yeah, if the lights can be changed to a different color.
Yeah.
They used to be green, I know, back in the day, but now they're, or at least the outside ones, weren't they green? Like the older ones, the older people movers? Oh, okay.
I don't either. Okay. Then next up, we go to public comment from those present. Is there any member of the public who would like to make a comment? Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record, and you will have 2 minutes.
My name's Luis, and I just wanted to get some clarification on the on-time definition. Within 5 minutes of the scheduled time, as someone who grew up with early is on time and on time is late. It doesn't make sense to me why there's this much leniency. And I question the usefulness of it. And would also like to emphasize that, like, you know, if people are relying on this for work, if they're late for work, their 5 minutes, chances are they're just not going to slide, you know. I was also curious about the survey for the service change. People who are riding Route 25 largely voted for the plan cutting service on, or reducing service on 25. And I also just wanted to urge once again, like, I know it's probably too late at this point, but if at all possible, just considering plans that will support the routes with growing ridership, because I think that's very important to long-term sustainability and growth for public transit. That's all.
Thank you. Do you have an actual definition on the on-time part?
Go ahead. Well, basically, it is because there are so many unknowns on the road, right? There's accidents, there's weather, there's things that, you know, to say we're going to be somewhere at a specific time every day would be impossible to make, because there, it's for every time point along a route, so there's probably like 7 or 8 time points on some routes. To hit every one of those exactly on time would be impossible every day. So the 5-minute buffer is pretty much industry standard. It's not ideal, you know. It's not. We don't try to be within that 5-minute window. We try to hit it perfectly every time. But to give our bus operators a little bit of leniency, and they're not, you know, trying to run red lights or things like that, we have to have that buffer to make sure that they're still technically on time. So that's why it should never be early. That's the one thing. 0 minutes for earliness. You should never leave a time point early. What was the other ones?
125 riders thought about, or what they voted on for the plan.
Yeah, interesting. We did look at that. So when people took the survey, we asked them what route they ride most often. And so we were able to check just the people who rode the Route 25. 55 or 58% of those riders chose to cut the Route 25. But when we isolated it just by the people who rode the other routes on option A, the long list of routes that go every 30 minutes, all like 80% of those say, don't choose option A, choose option B. Like, they really need those half hour routes. They did not want their half hour routes to be every hour. But people who rode the 25, a small majority of them did say cut the 25. And we can share all of those statistics with you as we're breaking them down. There's one more. What was the last one?
It was just
supporting higher ridership.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
It's a difficult situation.
The one thing about just cutting the Route 25 at this point is, as we get more drivers, we can slowly build back in that 15-minute frequency on the Route 25. A lot easier than we could change a half-hour route or an hourly route back to a half-hour route. So we're more nimble to add, and easier to add that 15-minute frequency back as soon as we start building up the drivers. So hopefully it's not cut forever.
Are there any other members of the public who wish to make a comment? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Linda Larson. I live in Midtown, and so I seem to catch a preponderance of routes that are skipped all the time. Because a lot of times if I'm going over to the north side, I have to take 2 buses. But even 25, like sometimes I'll take it in towards town, say I'm taking a 20 back in, I transfer on C Street to catch a 25 out towards 36. And, you know, they skip, you know, and then, you know, of course when they're skipped, the routes, they're just, buses are crowded. And regarding the, wheel transportation devices like scooters and stuff, they take up less room than a lot of people's walkers who do not collapse them on the buses. I've also noticed some problems lately with people with backpacks that sit there and put their backpack to the side taking up a seat, where you have to ask them, if the bus is crowded, please move it so that somebody can sit down. And I noticed the bus drivers never ask people to have their fares ready. That's another cause of delays, because some people are, you know, specifically trying to have the bus driver tell them to go sit down and skip paying, but others just, they're not ready. And it's not a surprise that you need to have it on your phone or have your bus pass ready when you board. And I have a certain pocket on my bag, I keep it, so I pull it out, it's in my hand when I board. And those things, I mean, even a recorded announcement reminding people that they need to have it ready. I don't know if you can do that. But it doesn't take long for, you know, 15, 30 seconds per person that is not ready.
We do have a recorded announcement available on the bus. Some bus operators choose to turn that down. We're trying to get them all to leave it up. So
I've never heard it on there.
Yeah, I know. It's something we're working on.
And you know, and I'm retired, so unfortunately I don't have to be on time to work, but if I schedule any appointments, I now have to think about, gee, maybe I need to leave an hour ahead and make sure I have my reading material, because I don't know when buses are gonna show up. I've had several times where I've been waiting for a bus. It was supposed to be every 15 minutes, and I'm out there for 40 minutes waiting for a bus. So they've skipped not one, but are basically on skipping two by the time they show up. And it's very frustrating. I don't mind so much now in the summertime, and I do use my reading material, but in the wintertime, that's going to be bad.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that wish to make a comment?
Actually, so curious. The first time I've been to a meeting, my name's Carl Lackland. I don't have a car. I'm epileptic and I'm partially blind, and so it was not my decision, but the bus is what was available. And since I started, I love it. I totally love it. I got kind of not happy, excited about making changes in October or November?
October.
Trimming down, and my heart is broken. And I was wanted to make sure. I've heard the rumor that the only issue is because there's not enough riders. And it's interesting to hear that there's so little training, et cetera.
Yeah, so real quick, on any given day, we can have 25 to 30 operators not available to work out of 121 positions available for bus operators. Right now it takes 77
a day
to actually run the scheduled service. And if I am not fully staffed at 121, which that never happens. That would be amazing if that ever happened. On top of that, if everybody showed up to work, I have 10% allowed out on PTO, paid time off. And then that does not include the things that we can't account for, like workman's comp, or call-outs, or sick on route, or people that just decide it's sunny and they're gonna go fishing, or potentially somebody that has a family emergency and is out on family medical leave, or APLA, the Alaska Family Medical Leave. So on any given day, there are 25 to 30 operators that are not available to come do the scheduled work. So when you hear Linda talk about skipped trips, that's because there's not a bus operator available generally. Sometimes it's for things like mechanical failures, and we just, you know, had to miss a trip. But the majority of those trips that you're seeing missing is because I don't have somebody to drive the bus. Available to come to work to drive the bus, unfortunately. Out of 121 positions that I'm budgeted for, I have the money in my budget for that many people to come do the work. We are heartbroken too that is the reason why we're doing a service change. We have been growing and growing and trying to do all of these things over the years, and we made it through COVID for the most part, unlike many transit agencies. You know, there are many transit agencies that still today have not been able to put their service back on the street that they cut from COVID. And so ours is also, you know, retirement and attrition and things like that. People deciding that after, you know, 20 plus years, they don't want to be a bus operator anymore. They'd like to go enjoy their retirement. So it's a lot of moving pieces and parts to have the workforce to do the scheduled work to get people to where they need to go.
I have high, what's the word, the honor for the drivers. That's a hard job.
Incredibly.
That's a hard job. Not just the driving, mm-hmm. but handling the whole handful.
Yeah, it is a tough job. They're incredibly good at what they do.
Yes. All right. Thank you. All right, and we'll move on to member comments. We'll go around the table, starting with Peter.
Yeah, it's really informative and kind of unfortunate about the lack of drivers. And hopefully we'll be able to get that on track. And yeah, that's unfortunate. And I wish we had some magic solution, but it doesn't sound like this is something we're digging our way out of anytime in the near future. And we'll miss you. I'm sorry that you're going, but at the same time, I'm glad you've got something cool for the future. So.
I will still be very much involved.
Yeah.
Alaska, Idaho, Washington, and Oregon are my territories, so thank you, Peter.
Thank you for all the good work that you have done.
So I'm happy to have been able to be added to the board. It's something I've been trying to do for the last, I think, 4 years. Even happier that I get to at least have one meeting where Jamie's still here. just to go over some of the stuff. In preparation for me joining the board, I started talking with my drivers on my routes and just saying, like, hey, you know, new person here, like, is there anything that, you know, my regular drivers want to be heard? And I know a lot of this gets into like a sticky territory of like, okay, there's the union, there's the CBA, there's the administration, there's the drivers, but just to, you know, voice and add voice to that, I hear concerns from the drivers on some of my routes, especially of ergonomic issues. I know that's the case with all jobs, and especially as it's something that is not especially highlighted in federal OSHA regulations as far as ergonomic issues. It's dependent on employers to be able to try and provide you know, ergonomic assistance as applicable for those kinds of jobs. I hear concerns of, you know, seats that have been really worn out that doesn't support their legs in a way that, you know, can lead to some back pain. There's things like that. Also with the plexiglass doors, which I know many of the drivers get a lot of utility out of, and that security that is there from being able to have physical separation between you and the ridership, especially on the more popular routes like Route 25. But hearing from some folks that, you know, the regular, you know, moving and opening of that door, especially that reaching behind you, as someone who just had a shoulder injury, that was one of the worst things for me, is trying to reach behind me. So I just really would love to advocate for an emphasis towards, you know, increasing of, you know, focus of ergonomics. I know that that's something that, you know, at my job that we kind of house in the safety department, I know that there's probably a lot that gets covered by the safety kind of division of public transit, but, you know, that's something that I would like to advocate for. Other than that, that was the main things of just ergonomic issues, and the only other thing was I've heard from some folks that, especially when we were dealing with all the cottonwood, that when the buses were being pulled in for their like nightly cleaning and maintenance, that like the windows were still being left open, so when they got put out in the parking lot, they'd get full of all the cottonwood, and they ended up for being a real bad time for the drivers with allergies being stuck in that bus when it turns into a little hurricane in there. And I also just wanted to commend my bus driver on Route 92 just last week. Right as we were leaving the Eagle River, the engine on the bus started overheating, it looked like, and he was able to limp it all the way back to the transit center for us, so I didn't have to be stuck out stranded in the middle of the highway. So thank you to our drivers, and especially when we're dealing with mechanical issues of making it happen.
Sarah, can I chime in?
Yes.
Real quick?
Yes.
Like, education moment, opportunity. So the barriers, just to be clear, the barriers are not in place for protection against assault. So that's something that we really need to educate our riders about. They were brought on because of COVID to limit the exposure with passengers. They are not by any means a safety tool to prevent assault. There is some sort of perception that that may be, but that was not their intent. And then the second piece is the safety officer.
Mm-hmm.
Transit technically at this point does not have a full-time safety. For a department of almost 200 people, we do not have a dedicated full-time safety officer. We have an operations supervisor that also has safety-related activities associated with their position. However, we were able to identify funding, and what will what comes out of that is a dedicated full-time safety coordinator. That coordinator, we have two things that needed to be met. We had a federal requirement as part of the Public Transit Agency Safety Plan. We call it PTAS. PTAS requires agencies over a certain size, which Anchorage qualifies for, to have a dedicated safety officer that reports directly to the director, straight line, like doesn't go through anybody else, straight to the director, primarily to be able to implement change quickly, to be able to follow guidance, not have to give buy-in, all of those things. But then also Mayor LaFrance, when she was chair of the assembly before she left, one of the last things that she worked on was an AO that identified that the seven largest departments in the municipality would also create full-time safety coordinator positions. So we're meeting two requirements out of this one position. So meeting the intent of the AO, but then also meeting the intent of the federal compliance piece. So that is coming. I think you're gonna start seeing some different things happen as that evolves. But again, that position was just recently funded and is going through the HR classification process, which is not a quick process, but it is something that we are working on in a department our size. I don't know if any of you all know this, but the municipality has one true safety officer for the entire city. There are some coordinators planted in other departments, but there is one coordinator for one director of safety, essentially, that has zero true reports. So, more safety. Yeah. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So that's going to be evolving and changing for the department as well. So,
cool.
Just wanted to clarify the barrier piece and then not technically a safety officer at this point.
Okay. All right. Thanks. CP.
I want to thank the public involvement. It's always good to have. We are here for all of the residents, not just these goofballs around the table. I want to congratulate Jamie and Bart on your new positions. That's exciting. Now we get to pick on you, Bart.
Yeah.
I won't complain yet. Let you get feet wet.
Give him one meeting. Yeah. Just add <Just out. laughs> Give him one free meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him till Monday.
And then, of course, the board for everybody's involvement. It's a pain to get here by 5:30, but it's a lot better, I think. That's all.
All right, Daniel.
Cool. I'll start by giving thanks for all the due diligence you guys have been doing in the department for getting all this information put together, like clearly identifying what the problems are, where they're coming from, and doing all this research to figure out what comes next. So thank you for all of that. It's really helpful, at least from the board side, to think of different things, where we need to advocate, and what we can be doing on our end. Welcome to the board, Kyle.
Thank you.
And congratulations again to both of you and all of your future endeavors.
So all I wanted to say was congratulations to Bart and Jamie for the positions you're moving on to. Happy trails, Jamie, congratulating Kyle for joining the board. And I did want to voice my own brokenness of heart over the changes that are going to be made in the bus schedule, but I do feel the chill wind of economic and vocational reality. So it seems like a thing that unless some miracle happens and we get 40 new bus drivers, this is how it's going to be. But it is really sad and kind of be inconvenient, but what else can we do? So that's all I have to say.
Well, welcome, Kyle, and thank you for moving the minutes, allowing the June minutes to be adopted today rather than waiting. I'm thrilled to have 8 board members here. I don't think it's ever happened. I've been coming, I think, since 2017. Yeah, since 2017 or 2018. We can look back at the minutes. I don't think we've ever had 8. But I'm very unthrilled to have Jamie leaving. And, you know, she's a superstar, and it's on full display today because, you know, there's nothing in the municipal code requiring the director to even answer any questions, and she's answered every question that people have tossed around today. So more evidence there if any were needed. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Michael.
Yeah, I'm going to have to echo this same. I'm having to come to terms with letting Jamie go. She's always gets right to the point and helps us find out where we need to do our job better, and I certainly have appreciated that a lot. I am honestly, and welcome Kyle.
Thank you.
It's exciting to have a full group because it makes forums easier.
Right.
When we decide to go fishing or go to work. So the final thing, I'm really struck by this driver's story. Like I really feel like we ought to get this word out. I think if the public fully knew this, we could find some solutions, right? We could get a better conversation going with the Teamsters or with the University of Alaska or with some of the other potential resources that can help break the queue and figure out how to solve this, because this is not a simple, it's not a simple problem. It's not gonna get fixed overnight, and we can keep kind of putting our head in the sand thinking we'll just make it through, but the numbers speak for themselves, 20 to 30 every day that aren't around, which is expected. I think we need to think about how to get that word out, maybe an op-ed, maybe something to get the word out to the public more, because losing our buses makes no, losing routes makes no sense in this scenario. We have increasing ridership. We have all the things that we've been working towards, and now we can't do it because we don't have drivers. That's unacceptable. We should get the public behind that better. So not just us transit nerds.
There's definitely economic impact to not having the level of service.
Absolutely.
And I think that might be a really good message to share.
Sarah.
Appreciate that.
You mentioned writing an op-ed. That's something I'd be happy to be a part of if that's something we could do. I'd need some like access to like some figures and information that I could like present to the op-ed, but I'd be happy to write like 600-700 words, something like that, to put in ADN.
Glorious. Would you and Mike like to work on that?
By our powers combined.
Yes.
You can blow up a double Michael.
We're going to Michael.
Yes.
We're
going to
Michael stuff.
It's
going to
be a mic drop.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, new series.
So, yeah, I wanted to welcome Kyle. Thank you for persevering. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you aboard. I mean, not only is it just easier to get quorum, but it's just better to have more voices at the table and more points of view. I also wanted to congratulate the customer service department for winning
the Welcoming Work Group of the Year.
Welcoming Work Group of the Year. So folks from the Public Transportation Department being able to attend the celebration for Employee of the Year and Employee Work Groups of the Year. That was last Thursday. That's why our meeting is tonight. So congratulations to them. It's very exciting. They do good work. And congratulations to you both as well. Jamie, I'm still going to email you, but like for federal things now. So it's fine. And yeah, like I said, Bart, I'm gonna give you till like Monday or Tuesday, like get settled in, and then I'll have questions. Like,
prep him first.
Okay, yeah, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be great. But yeah, seriously, congratulations, we are going to miss you. I've gone through like all my stages of grief, of like denial and
anger,
like anger, and but then acceptance, and like seriously, congratulations, very cool. That's a very cool opportunity. And I am excited to hear about it when I email you about federal things.
Perfect.
And that's all I have. I will entertain. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you, members of the public, also. I am still getting used to having folks here now that we've moved to in person. I really genuinely appreciate your comments. It really helps add to the discussion as we figure out what we're going to do about, you know, a transit department that we love having to hit some difficult roadblocks. So we'll see what we can make happen in the next couple years to solve this issue. Now I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Moved by Michael. Second by Peter. We are adjourned at 6:45.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.